You know what? It sucks to be bored. But when I get on my phone and play real casino games on SpinQuest.com, the time flies by. That two-hour wait at the DMV seems like 10 minutes. Play your favorite slots, live blackjack, live craps, with a live dealer. New players, $30 coin packs are on sale for 10 bucks. Play SpinQuest.com and you'll never be bored again.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome to the Early Line on Sports Grid on SiriusXM, Channel 204. For Kevin Walsh, I'm Aaron Dolan. Time to do our 7-7 top headlines. We'll start off with the NBA playoffs. AD bounces back with 34 points in the Lakers' 109-102 win over the Suns. LeBron James was hitting some clutch buckets down the stretch to get the win as well. Lakers cover as short favorites over Cashes, and Lakers, Kev, tie the series.
Yeah, oh man, it's exciting stuff. There's a lot of reasons that I feel like I've got a lot of energy today. Being back here in the studio is one. Mm-hmm. Solid cup of coffee doesn't hurt, but I think it's the Lakers going 1-1 in the series that probably is the biggest reason. Yesterday, I tweeted at AD before the game, if you win the game and go over your points prop of a closing number of 25.5, I'll buy myself a brand new AD jersey. I kind of wanted to get one anyway. Well, 34 points, Lakers win. Jersey's on the way. Can't wait to get it. Exciting. Can't wait for game number three. Lakers there, 1-1. You love to see it. Great performance from him. Great performance from the team overall.
Yeah, and also in the NBA last night, Luka Doncic shines once again, and the Mavs take a stunning 2-0 lead over the Clippers. Doncic finished with 39 points in this game, while Tim Hardaway Jr. added 28. Mavs win 127-121 as dog over Cashes. And this, of course, is going to be such an interesting series, Kev.
The Clippers intentionally signed themselves up for Luka Doncic after last year having a bird's eye view of what Luka Doncic was capable of during a six-game battle with him in the bubble. A puzzling decision, though I understand wanting to avoid the Lakers. Was it really worth it? Right now, the answer certainly does not look like it, as Luka Doncic has comfortably been the best player in this series, and a Clippers team that was supposed to be built on elite defender after elite defender can't get a stop.
And how about the Celtics? They were blown out by the Nets, 130-108. They cover as favorites. Joe Harris scored 25 points with 7 made threes. KD adds 26, and the big three just looked back in sync finally.
Man, oh man. BK right now is continuing to rise in the eyes of a lot of people. They are now sub-200 to win the NBA championship, back to minus money to win the Eastern Conference. The Nets are as dangerous as it gets, no doubt about it, not taking that away from them. But Boston, to me, the worst of the 16 playoff teams. Going back to Boston, we'll see if they put up any resistance. We'll also see if Jason Tatum will be available in a full capacity after leaving that game due to an eye poke and only being available for 21 minutes in that blowout.
Yep. Let's also talk about the Knicks. Julius Randle wins Most Improved Player Award. He led the Knicks to their first postseason appearance since 2013. He averaged career highs with 24 points, 10 rebounds, 6 assists, while shooting 41% from the three-point range.
Incredibly deserved. So deserved. I feel like it's the definition of the award. A guy who is looking like he's got some potential, maybe a piece to a legitimate all-NBA caliber player, a franchise cornerstone. Like, Julius Randle is someone that's obviously been around for a while. This is a guy who still has so much time left. I mean, he's only 26 years old. The Knicks have a special one, the Most Improved Player, incredibly deserving. Awesome to see. Yep. Big game for him tonight.
And let's quickly welcome in our radio audience. You're listening to The Early Line on Sports Grid on Sirius XM, channel 204. For Kevin Walsh, I'm Aaron Dolan, doing our 7-7 top headlines. Let's switch it to playoff hockey. Of course, another game going into overtime. The Hurricanes beat the Panthers to win 3-2 in OT and take the series to game 6.
Yeah, Jordan Staal with the game winner, walking away with some Hero of the Night honors, incredibly deserving. As you said, a 3-2 series lead now, an opportunity at the minimum to be hosting a Game 7. Might as well also mention yesterday the Maple Leafs winning Game 4 over the Canadiens, now up 3-1 in that series.
And now let's take it to the field. The Dodgers win 8 straight games with a 9-2 victory over the Astros in Houston. The Dodgers plus 330 to win the MLB World Series, plus 165 to win the National League, minus 280 to win the NL West. Of course, the Dodgers just continuing to heat up.
Yeah, no doubt about it. 8 consecutive now for the World Series favorites. This one, though, an important one to them as Clayton Kershaw returns to Houston in front of fans. Last time in the World Series, got shelled, all of the cheating scandals that comes out. You think about a guy like Kershaw who's had a poor postseason reputation, certainly was not aided by that tough day in Houston, said the game was more important. And that's the thing, a team like the Dodgers, a team like the Yankees, they're never going to stand across from the Altuves and Bregmans and Correas and forget what happened, believing that an opportunity to win a World Series was taken away from them.
And also Major League Baseball, Mets win 3-1 in Jacob DeGrom's return to the field. And while that shouldn't really need a headline, he obviously was able to get the win when his team in those previous games just weren't able to give him the win.
Yeah, you never know. It's always a roller coaster when DeGrom's on the mound. Not anything that has to do with Jacob DeGrom. I mean, he's always flawless. Only 63 pitches, but 5 innings of work, only allowed the solo shot there, no walks, 9 Ks. But it was important as this was Jacob DeGrom's first start back after a little stint on the IL. It is noteworthy that he only went 63 pitches, though, of course, Aaron. We're going to have to see when he is back to a full, 100 go for this team.
Yes, you will. Stay with us here on The Early Line. Coming up next, we're going to talk about the Charles Schwab Challenge. Also talk a little bit about soccer and NFL. Stay with us.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
And welcome back to The Early Line. For Kevin Walsh, I'm Aaron Dolan. Now, the Charles Schwab Challenge tees off tomorrow at Fort Worth, Texas. Let's go to Rick Gaiman for a course preview.
The best players in the world are headed to South Carolina for the PGA Championship. That's right, the second. Have you caught your breath yet from Phil Mickelson winning the PGA Championship? Unbelievable stuff, but the show must go on. And the PGA Tour rolls back to Texas this week, this time to Fort Worth for the Charles Schwab Challenge. And remember, this was the first event after golf came back last summer and had an absolutely star-studded field. In fact, the first 3 events after golf returned were just some of the strongest fields that we have ever seen outside of major championships. And Colonial Country Club is an absolute staple on the PGA Tour schedule, and it has played host to this event in every year of its existence, dating back 75 years. The type of golf that you see this week is going to be incredibly different from what we saw last week at the Ocean Course, where there was a priority on ball striking and distance off the tee. Colonial is a par 70, much shorter course, and has smaller greens, about 5,000 square feet on average, so there will be a lot of missed greens along the way, meaning you're going to want to try to find guys with better short games because getting up and down for par will be a critical skill set this week, and we've seen some of these short game players like Kevin Kisner and Kevin Na win this event in the past. I certainly don't expect scoring to be nearly as difficult as we saw last week, but not a birdie fest like we saw at the AT&T Byron Nelson. Somewhere right in the middle, around around 15, 16, 17 under par will probably do the trick to win this week's Charles Schwab Challenge.
Kev, I kind of feel like things are coming full circle, obviously, with this tournament coming back around. It was the first one since COVID and things like that when it finally was able to happen. So it's kind of interesting to see that. But he makes a lot of great points about finding guys with short games.
Yeah, coming full circle is a good way to put it. I think I on this show, have broken down every single golf tournament since it's been back, because it was the first one back and it just kind of became a part of it. And I think so many people have picked up golf betting since then. So you look at it now and, you know, Jordan Spieth, oh, so used to talking about Justin Thomas and, you know, even guys a little bit further down the board, you know, Billy Horschel, you have familiarity with, a guy like Kevin Na, you have a little bit of familiarity with. So it's just one of those things that, you get a little like, you know what, cool. I'm glad we're back at the Charles Schwab, but also it's what's really important with what Rick said and your point there is knowing how that course is going to play. The long ball hitters here, not as at the bigger of advantage that we typically see them at here. The putting is going to make the difference here at the Charles Schwab Challenge.
And for this tournament right now, Jordan Spieth is the favorite, 10-1 on the FanDuel Sportsbook. And lots arguing that he should have won the Masters. He could have won the PGA, for example, if it wasn't for his terrible putting from a lot of articles that I had read. Let's throw it to Rick again and see what he thinks about Jordan Spieth this week.
It should be no surprise that the Texas kid himself, Jordan Spieth, back in action this week, is the favorite to win the Charles Schwab Challenge. You can get him around 11-1 to win this event, and he has done just that in his career. In fact, he has dominated at Colonial. He's been piling up top 10 finishes essentially every single year since he started playing this event, and back in 2016, he was the one hoisting the trophy on Sunday afternoon as your champion. And, you know, the run that Spieth has been on over the past 5 or 6 months is nothing short of incredible. He is significantly, by all metrics, the best player on the PGA Tour. And while he played okay last week at the PGA Championship, he makes the cut, he finishes inside the top 40, nothing to write home about. This is certainly a much better course fit for him in a place that he's had a ton of success at over the years. And of course, the big kicker, the strength of field. While there are a few headliners, this is going to be one of the weakest fields that Jordan Spieth has played in recently. And we know that when he gets headed in the right direction, when he starts keeping the driver in play, when he starts dialing in his irons, and when that putter gets hot, watch out world, because he can get scorching and run away with a tournament like few others can. So I think it is a well-deserved short 11-1 number on Jordan Spieth this week to win the Charles Schwab Challenge.
And Kev, Rick always giving us a great analysis of that, of course, on Jordan Spieth. 10-1 right now in the FanDuel Sportsbook. Then you have Colin Morikawa, 12-1 coming off of a top 10 finish at the PGA. Justin Thomas, 13-1 is your top three favorites. Now, also something just to keep in mind, Phil Mickelson, we know it's just 4 days after his historic win at the PGA Championship. He's 43-1.
It's very interesting that Phil is participating here at the Charles Schwab. So many people will take off the tournament after a major. Phil wins it. He's like, let's keep this thing rolling, which I respect. But I think what Rick said about the field is super, super important, right? Spieth in great form, but it's not a great field. I think him making sure that he's playing here probably has to do with a great course history. He probably thinks this is a real opportunity for him to go out there and win. We always, you know, we have Cam Stewart come on with us all the time to talk golf, and he's so tremendous at it. But there's also, I'm sure, some people who maybe just want to make one, maybe two bets instead of, say, a full six pack, like someone like Cam, who's in the nitty gritty and, you know, going through all the live options. If you're looking for just one bet to win the Charles Schwab, you hear Rick's breakdown. 10-1, again, comparatively, sure, it's a short price. 10-1 is a huge win. I mean, you put $100 down, you get $1,000 back there. You consider the field, you consider the course history, the fact that he's playing off of a trip at a major there. I think Spieth becomes incredibly intriguing. Also, plus 130 for a top 10. Heck, minus 160 doesn't really sound all that bad for a top 20 finish for Jordan Spieth.
And again, the Charles Schwab Challenge will tee off tomorrow. Let's switch it over to soccer because we have a Europa League final. Very important game. Now, this is Manchester City's eighth major European final that they'll be playing in. They have been crowned winners in five of the previous seven finals. Meanwhile, Villarreal has reached the European final for the first time in history.
Tremendous on that pronunciation. I know you
Sorry, it was really, really just
excellent stuff. No, you,
that there.
You got it. No, no, you got it. Villarreal, absolutely A-plus stuff. A-plus stuff worked out. So this is going to be an exciting one here. Manchester United enters the game in good form. Ultimately, United right now second in the table in the Premier League. Things have been going well as you know they close things out with a victory over Wolverhampton. When you look at Villarreal, they lost to Real Madrid in their final league game. For this game, I think United as that minus 110 price makes all the sense of the world. We do have to make sure we mention that that minus 110 is regulation. We must crown a winner, right? Extra time is plausible. You'll notice there is a different market labeled to lift the cup. By the way, I don't think there is a cooler name for a singular market than to lift the cup. It's my favorite. That is to win, whether it goes to penalties, extra time, whatever it might be. You see there, United, a minus 240 favorite, a very considerable number. I think, though, there could be some goals here. We've seen Manchester United continue to, you know, play, I feel like, some higher-scoring matches. Edison Cavani's tremendous at finding the back of the net. Bruno Fernandes, you know, Paul Pogba continuing to work out of the middle. Also, just recent history of the Europa League final, we have seen there be three or more goals in five out of the last six tournaments. And the over 2.5 minus 104, getting involved today, a little midday soccer action, rooting on and over at minus 104 juice. Sign me up. Let's hope for some goals here with United and Villarreal.
Yeah, no, that makes a lot of sense. I just want to quickly mention one quick note. Manchester United, when they faced Villarreal more times without ever scoring than any other opponent in their history. So obviously, we're hoping for some goals there, but the trend saying maybe not as much. Stay with us here on the Erline. Coming up next, we're going to be talking about the NBA playoff games that are happening tonight. Stay with us.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome to the Early Line on SportsGrid on SiriusXM, Channel 204 for Kevin Walsh. I'm Aaron Dolan. Time to get into some NBA previews. Tonight we have the Wizards facing the 76ers in Philly. Right now the 76ers laying 8 on the FanDuel Sportsbook and the total at 231. Now, Kev, obviously we know in that first game the 76ers were able to cover as the favorites. The Wizards not looking their best, but this team does still scare me a little bit. If they do get hot going against the Philadelphia 76ers, they could potentially cover.
Yeah, I think the thing with the Wizards that makes them so dangerous is their offensive ceiling is so high that if you as a 76ers team or whomever they're playing have an off night, they can catch you out, right? And we saw for, you know, even against Indiana, 142, a do-or-die game. Game number one, they put up 118. Like, you are going to have to score to beat Washington. Now, they will allow you to score, right? 125 for Philly in game number one. The game going well over the total moving up here. But I think it's a great point, Aaron, that this is a Washington team that I don't want to say that it forces you into your A game, but you cannot come out lackadaisical because they run, and all of a sudden you look up and they've got, you know, 35 first quarter points. You're like, oh my goodness, here we go with these guys again.
Yeah, and in terms of those against the spread numbers, Washington 7-0-1 against the spread in their last eight following a straight-up loss, 6-0 in their last six as an underdog and as a road dog, something to keep in mind. As for the total at 231, over at 6-1, the Wizards last seven as a road dog, last seven road games in general. Then the over is 4-0 and the 76ers last four games as a home favorite and four home games just overall. Now the over between these two, 8-2, which way would you want to play this total? Because obviously it's a lot higher than a lot of the other series.
Yeah. No, I still lean towards the over. This just seems what Washington is all about. And I think the Sixers have enough offensive talent to oblige and say, sure, if you want to run, we'll run here a little bit. Because our baskets are going to be easier. And if it comes down to who can get the stops, we can get the stops, not you. I will say, you notice how that fourth quarter, only 51 points, I'd be cautious of jumping, say, back in on overs. I'd maybe consider live unders if the game is competitive, because when it's time to lock in, I do think Philly will lock in. So I would keep that in mind with the total here. If you're playing it to the over, 231, if all of a sudden, let's say it jumped up to like a 245 live, right? You're thinking, oh, boom, this is going to be easy. Maybe try to middle the game. I know people are split on how much they like that approach, but in this game, it could make some sense.
And I want to kind of bring up these player props you can bet on right now in the FanDuel Sportsbook. Tobias Harris, last game, he had 37 points. Simmons, 15 boards, 15 assists, Embiid, 30 points. Of course, he did have a little bit of foul trouble there. Are there any player props that you like, or would you rather just go with one of the trends that you've consistently been talking about over the last couple of weeks, the first half spread?
Yeah. So I do think the first half spread might have some juice behind it here tonight. That number is 4.5. Here's why. They actually lost the first half by one, but Embiid didn't play a lot of the first half. That's where his foul trouble was really a big part of it. Joel Embiid was a plus 20 in only 30 minutes against the Wizards. So if you think about that, right, they only win the game by 7. How is he a plus 20? Again, the minutes had to take a dip because of the foul trouble. If he stays out of foul trouble, which I feel like he's going to make a point to do, and plays 20 some odd minutes in that first half, I think we can get back to their covering ways in the beginnings of these games. And also, too, Aaron, just, you know, one prop we can talk about more if you want, but Embiid's points prop, 32.5, it's easy to see why, as he put up 30 in only 30 minutes of work here against Washington. As long as this isn't a blowout, it's hard not to think that he won't end up with 35 or so points.
So let's now switch it over to the series prices for this series. The 76ers minus 1,800 at this point. You're not going to want to bet that. Yeah. But in terms of the series spread, still minus 2.5. If you want to take the 76ers, it's minus 188. You can also, of course, bet on the series total game, series correct score after 3 games and things like that. Does anything stand out to you in terms of the series prices? Because obviously we're not going to be betting the Philadelphia 76ers at minus 1,800.
No, we're certainly not. I don't even really like laying 2.5 games at this point with Philly at minus 188. You know, do I think they get this done in 4 or 5? Yes, but again, minus 188, I'm not there on it. I think what we learned with Brooklyn, right, in Boston, the Sixers right now are plus 175 to win this in 4 games, plus 165 to win this in 5 games. I think they will become bigger favorites to close it out in a sweep if they win tonight, which, of course, they are favored to do just that. That's how I think this would shift. Could you argue maybe plus 112 on the Sixers 3-0 correct score after 3 games? I know this is maybe a little much for people, but that's plus 112. If they win tonight, you would then have the Sixers at plus 112 money line going into game 3. You could do a little hedge opportunity, lock in, not a massive profit, but still a profit, or, right, just let it ride on the better team and getting a better number on what their game number 3 money line would be. You know what? I think that's the way to go, Aaron. If we like the Sixers tonight, we've got some conviction on them. I think plus 112, the Sixers 3-0 after 3 games.
Do you think they would struggle a little bit if they were to go down to Washington, though? You think they would be able to get those wins right away?
So it's plausible, right? I think that's the one thing that we're going to be waiting on for, right, Boston when they go to Brooklyn. Can you salvage this a little bit? I think we're going to have to wait and see. But I think more important than whether or not they'll win in Washington, it's getting basically Philly plus 112 money line in that game. Because here's the other thing. Aaron, if let's just say the Sixers are able to win comfortably tonight, 15 points, right? I know that's easier said than done, but if they're able to, what we learned with the new Brooklyn price is they will adjust. If the Sixers go into Washington as 5-6 point favorites, well, that money line then on Washington is going to be about 2-1. You would have plus 112 on Philly, say 2-1 on Washington. You could wash your hands of it, lock profit in, and not even have to really worry about betting the game.
Mm-hmm. No, that's a great point. And let's continue with some of this preview here. We have the Hawks versus the Knicks. We know this series is going to be a lot tighter. Right now, the Knicks laying 2 with a total at 212.5. Now, we know the Hawks won 107-105 in the first game. Trae Young having that game-winning shot with basically him hushing the crowd right after. The Hawks were hot from 3, especially in that fourth quarter. And we kind of talked about this already, but Julius Randle really need to be better in this game too. But which way would you lean in terms of this game? Because obviously it is so tight still.
Yeah, so this is a game, it's hard not to pull inspiration from Nuggets Blazers, right? A little bit of a do or die kind of feel for the New York Knicks. If you go down 2-0 going to Atlanta, you're really going to be uncomfortable about this series. Plus, you don't want to squander what has been such a wonderful home court advantage for you, right, up until, you know, this point in the season. They have not lost consecutive home games since April has started. They are such a tough out on their home floor. I mean, you go through it, like, very few times, if at all, I think maybe once this season, were they losers of consecutive games in Madison Square Garden. Like, it happened from, like, it was like March 29th, April 2nd, and then you have to go back to, like, January. This is their building. They have been so good against the number all season long. It's honestly, and you know this about me, Aaron, typically a number as short as a 2, I say lay the 136. Like, the way they cover numbers, I think you lay the 2. I think this is the Knicks' night. I really do. I think the Garden's going to be special. I think the Knicks are going to come out firing. I think Julius Randle responds in a big, big way. I fully anticipate this being a Knicks win.
Yeah, you made a great point kind of equating that to the Portland-Denver series, because obviously Portland took that game 1, Denver came back in that game 2. That was one of the tighter series compared to this one. I also wanted to ask you about the total, since it's 4-0 in the Hawks' last 4, and following a straight-up win for the Knicks under is 5-1 the last 6 overall. When things are starting to trend to under and they know these teams are hitting the under and they're pulling the line down, it's now at 212.5. Is there then the potential to potentially kind of just bet that over, just given that they're kind of all trending under and the line's coming down?
Yeah, no, it's a great point. We talked about that with yesterday's game. So you mentioned yesterday Lakers-Suns goes over the number, finishes with 211 points. Well, that is under the game 1 total of 213.5. That adjustment all of a sudden provided you a room for opportunity there as an overbetter. Now, not a massive move here, but still a slight one, right? I think 215 is where it was at one point, I know, for that game 1 line. I know it started to trickle its way down. I mean, the interesting thing is they were still able to get to 212. It did take a huge fourth quarter that had 38 total points scored in it. It was very interesting, but that opening first quarter, Aaron, was 24-16 Atlanta. And I think what we've talked about with some of the game twos going over, maybe this game, similar to the rest of them, all of a sudden that offensive flow starts to get a little bit easier for these teams.
Yeah, I'm excited to see how that trend actually shapes out with teams hitting the over in game 2. We'll obviously be talking about that tomorrow morning and see what kind of happens with some of the game 2s today. Stay with us here on the R Line. We're going to continue our NBA preview after the break. Stay with us.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to the Oilers Line on Sports Grid on SiriusXM, Channel 204. Continuing with our NBA preview this morning, we're going to start off again with the Atlanta Hawks versus the Knicks. Now, we're going to talk about quickly, Kevin, the series prices. So we have the Knicks plus 194 to beat the Hawks. Is there any value there, given that the Atlanta Hawks only won Game 1?
So, that number is going to go down, obviously, if they win game number two. The question we have to ask ourselves is how much? And luckily for us, we really have a great example in Portland, Denver. We saw Denver was about, I think it was maybe plus 220 range, give or take, after losing game one, come down to about plus 140. A move, but because Portland owned home court advantage, not a massive move. This is a similar situation in that Atlanta will still remain considerable series favorites, even if the Knicks do win tonight. I'm not really thinking it's necessary to grab plus 194 on the Knicks. I don't think we need to do it. I think the number will go down, but not in a way where I think it's necessary to bet.
Interesting. All right. Is there any props that you like for tonight's game?
I have to bring up the Julius Randle numbers. We talked about them at length before game number one, and it was an awful night for Julius Randle. Julius Randle will tell you that it was an awful night for Julius Randle, but I think he's going to bounce back. I really do believe that. He had way too much success, not only throughout this season, but specifically against the Hawks. I think you're going to see Julius go out there. I think if you want to hone in on the points prop, that's more than understandable. You see right there a 25.5 number, but I'm really even interested, again, in points plus rebounds plus assists. It's down to 41.5. This is a number that he cleared with ease each and every game against the Hawks during the regular season, getting above 55 points plus rebounds plus assists in those games. I think you're going to see a big, big night from Julius.
All right, and then another game that's on the board tonight, we have the Grizzlies versus the Jazz. The Jazz laying 9 right now in the FanDuel Sportsbook, total at 219.5. Overnight, this moved up a point from 218.5. Now, we know the Grizzlies took game one, 112-109. They covered as 8-point dogs. Now, again, they are dogs by 9 points this time. Do you think this is potentially too many points for a Grizzlies team that is known to cover, or do you think that they're factoring in that Donovan Mitchell will be back for this game?
I'm struggling on this spread a lot. I'm struggling on this spread a lot because I think with Mitchell coming back, I think the fact that Rudy Gobert should be able to avoid fouling out this go-around, I think this Jazz home crowd will be absolutely rocking. Not that Memphis will be lying down, but they've done their job already here in Utah. A significantly more important game for the Utah Jazz as it pertains to this series. You're talking about two teams, Aaron, that were great against the number all season long, right? The Jazz, that phenomenal run where they covered every single game. Memphis, though, as you mentioned, a great against the spread team as well. If I had to, I think I would lay the 9. I think this is a big night here for Utah, but I think there's better ways to play this game than laying the 9.
And the one thing that they can do to be able to cover that number and obviously get the win is keep the Grizzlies off the offensive glass. Utah had the upper hand in a lot of the key stats, but Memphis had 16 offensive rebounds that helped lead to a 62-42 advantage on points in the paint. So that's something to keep in mind. But I want to kind of bring it back to Donovan Mitchell because we know that he will be in after missing 16 games with a sprained right ankle. His player prop for this game is at 25.5. When you have a player that's coming back from an injury, we've seen this with LeBron and AD, anything can happen. If it is even a little bit sore, they will pull him from this game. So do you want to ride or fade his player prop for tonight?
If I had to choose, I think I'm going to ride it. Here's the thing with Donovan Mitchell. Last year, during the playoffs, he went to another level. He really, really did. I mean, he averaged 36 points per game in that series against Denver, a 7-game series. Going over this number of 25.5 in 5 of those 7 games. I'll also add, he had 2 games against Memphis this year, scored exactly 35 in both of them. The thing is, I'm starting to think with Mitchell, as you and I here on this show have cautioned people to stop ignoring the Mitchell injury, it appears that the Jazz have possibly been too cautious with Donovan Mitchell here. And I'm not going to say he's 100%. There could be rust to shake off, but I can't bet the under in Donovan's first game back. I think he's going to come out guns blazing against Memphis.
And we'll talk about some more player props in a moment and get into some lines. But something else I wanted to kind of note real quick is, do you think that the Memphis Grizzlies in general will be able to close out more games? Obviously, they had that 17-point lead in the fourth. Then they won by three. They also went on a stretch where they made had 14 missed shots over a seven-minute stretch between the first and second quarter. We know this was a really, really tight game. Given that this is game two, we think that you're assuming that the Utah Jazz are going to be able to cover that nine-point spread. Is there any shot that Memphis would be able to close out another game?
So within the series, yes, absolutely. Memphis has the ability here. They've proven it. It's a good basketball team. It really is. I don't want people to be looking past that. Like, that win against Golden State was phenomenal. They competed against Golden State on that Sunday, a final regular season game, and obviously everything that they did against Utah in game number one. The thing with me and this Grizzlies team is, it's not only Donovan Mitchell coming back, but it's the idea that they're going to be able to foul out Rudy Gobert consistently is, to me, not a legitimate thing that I can see working. Rudy Gobert is a plus nine for that game. Gobert is he the most important player, the best player? Probably on Utah. I know he can't score. It's a little give and take. Look, ultimately, though, he is so important for that team, and they still won the Rudy Gobert minutes. And he only played 25 of them. So as long as he stays out of foul trouble there and don't allow Jonas Valanciunas to bully him up, I think you're going to see the Jazz be able to still outmatch the Memphis Grizzlies. This series reminds me a little bit of, you know, some Lakers-Blazers action last year. The one seed loses to the eight. All of a sudden, the hand goes over the panic button. The Lakers won the series in five. I don't even mean that as a slight to a Memphis squad. I just think the Jazz are better. I think getting Mitchell back is so important. I think the series spread here, Aaron, is a great bet at minus a game and a half. The Utah Jazz to win this series in six or less games at minus 102 on the FanDuel Sportsbook really jumps off the page for me.
All right, so let's get into some player props. Dylan Brooks, for example, he had 31 points and 7 boards in that game. One, Ja Morant, 26, Valanciunas, 15 points. Are there any player props that you like for tonight?
Yeah, so we talked briefly about Donovan. Ja Morant will continue to stick out to me. I think this guy's a postseason performer. Putting up 35 against Golden State in the play-in. Put up 26 in his postseason, true postseason debut against the Jazz in game number one. That number, 21.5. No qualms with that. I'm really interested to see what we get from Jonas Valanciunas in that points plus rebounds market. He missed it against the Warriors in the play-in game, but that's because he was dealing with all of that foul trouble. He had been smashing the number before that. In this game number one against the Jazz, 15 points, 12 rebounds, 7 of 14 shooting. It could have been better, but he gets to 27. The number is 29.5. He's right there. I want to get there on Jonas Valanciunas. I worry, could though Rudy Gobert be a little too much to handle? I'm torn. Valanciunas is someone that I'm watching from the props. I just want to make the point on this game, though, Aaron. I think of everything from this isolated game, I like over 219.5. This feels like it's the only game that off of game one, they moved the total upwards. And what you saw after an opening quarter of 24-17, only 41 points, this game still got to 221. And when Donovan Mitchell played for the Jazz in the two games against the Grizzlies, they still soared past this 219.5 number. I think the Jazz are going to have an awesome offensive outing. I think Memphis will be able to do enough. I think this game has the ability to get into the 230s. I really do like the over in this game, number two.
Yeah, and a trend that complements that, obviously, with the line moving from 218.5 to 219.5 right now. The Jazz over is 4-0 in their last four as a home favorite. One other thing I wanted to note was the Western Conference Championship odds, because yesterday during the show, these were down. So now we have new numbers. We have the Lakers plus 170, Jazz plus 260, Mavericks and the Clippers at plus 650. We know the Clippers kind of falling back there, and the Mavs moving to that same spot with plus 650 with the two wins. What do you think has great value in terms of this market at this point?
So I think it's the Clippers, if anything, because that plus 650 number will go right back down to about plus 200 if they win the series. Because here's the thing, right? If Dallas does get past the Clippers, right? So right now they're plus 650. They get past the Clippers. Where do we land on Mavs versus the Jazz? I don't know if I'm there yet to pick them, right? I'm not picking the Jazz at plus 260. I don't think that they're going to win the West. And I don't, that's just not a number that I'm going to work off of. The Lakers, I think we can still find ways to bet them series to series. I don't think Phoenix is going to advance. Portland at 15-1. Denver at 18-1. The issue is their next round, if things go according to plan, is against the Lakers. Like, I don't like either of them in that series. I think the answer, crazy enough to me, would be the Clippers at plus 650.
No, you make a great point that obviously that line would come back down potentially if they start beating the Mavs, which we were expecting them to do. And I definitely thought that last night would take them saying they were going to be able to cover that 7.5 spread as the favorites there. But overall, how do you think that, you know, some of these teams are able to adjust in terms of playoff format, in terms of, let's say, Memphis Grizzlies? We didn't even expect them to get to that point. They won game one. Is it an overreaction that they just won that game one? I know we had the Mavericks, for example, against the Clippers. Was it an overreaction that they won game one, and we thought that Luka Doncic would be able to kind of be simmered down in that second game? So is there any series in particular that you think is an overreaction or an underreaction?
So I think the one reminder that we've had early in the postseason is just, and these are long series. Even if, you know, a Celtics-Nets one feels over, there's still a lot that has to happen, right? And I think for this Clippers-Mavericks series, it now feels like the most important series, because a lot of the other favorites, whether it be the Nets, the Lakers, the Bucks, the Sixers, it appears they're going to get the job done. We've not hit the panic button on the Jazz just yet. If the Clippers really lose this series to Dallas, not only will that have a massive impact on this season's odds, but again, we're then going to start to talk about Kawhi possibly, or Paul George possibly leaving L.A.
All right, guys, there's three NBA games on the board today that you can bet on right now on the FanDuel Sportsbook. Stay with you on the RA line. Coming up next, we're going to bring on Ariel Epstein to talk a little bit more. Stay with us.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to the Early Line on SportsGrid on SiriusXM, Channel 204. I'm Aaron Dolan. We now bring on the prop, Queen Ariel Epstein, of course. She hosts The Morning After right after this show. So, Ariel, I wanted to ask you, what do you have on deck today?
We're so excited to have so many great guests on our show. We're all going to be talking about the NBA playoffs. There was major line movement, which I know that you and Kevin were talking about all show, about the Lakers all of a sudden now past minus 300 to win the series over the Phoenix Suns. The series is only split at one apiece, and the book says, all we needed was one Lakers win. We've got a lot to break down today for playoffs, in addition to Major League Baseball. And Aaron, we can't forget that FanDuel's giving us this awesome market where you could go bet with quarterbacks starting week one.
Yeah, I know you guys have been talking about that for the last couple of days. And just really quick, in terms of the NBA playoffs, we have the Wizards versus the 76ers, Hawks versus the Knicks, Grizzlies versus the Jazz tonight. I know you love the props. Do you have a favorite one before you kick off your show that you want to give people?
Similar to how I felt last night about Anthony Davis, how at some point in this series he had takeoff. That happened in game two. The biggest factor in the Knicks' loss to the Hawks in game one was Julius Randle not living up to par. I think tonight could be a Julius Randle night for the Knicks.
Love it, love it. Yeah, obviously he came out after that game one and said, I didn't really play as well as I should have, so hopefully we see some positive regression from him after only scoring 15 points in that game. There's also some exciting things going on. We still have MLB games. We have some soccer games. We have the Charles Schwab Challenge. So I know you guys will kind of be hitting on everything given that you have a three-hour show. Is there anything else you wanted to mention just before we hand it over to the morning after?
Nice job on the dog of the day yesterday. You go with the hometown team. You go with your Phillies. Job well done. You always know when you have the right hunch on your own team.
Yeah, I get kind of nervous sometimes when I do put out picks in terms of, you know, Philadelphia teams, because people are always like, oh, you're a little biased. And I'm like, no, actually, there's a lot of times that I absolutely fade the Sixers and unfortunately the Eagles, as you can see the helmet behind me. But yeah, I love when the dog of the day hits, because then I don't take any heat in the morning, because I'll kind of see some of those tweets coming in. But guys, stay here on Sports Grid on Sirius XM Channel 204. Coming up next is The Morning After with Ariel Epstein.
Sports info.
Happy birthday, America. It's time to celebrate and play your favorite Las Vegas casino games by American-owned SpinQuest.com. What's better than fireworks and American pie? Hitting a blackjack in the palm of your hand, and you won't lose your fingers. Over 1,000 games, including slots and live dealers. And $30 coin packs are on sale for $10. SpinQuest.com. Buy American players for American players.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.